Well, welcome back. Thank you for being here. Years ago, I wish it were more in the past, but many years ago, I asked a lady, are you expecting? Are you pregnant? And she was not. How do you think she felt? And how do you think I felt? And the lesson really, I've never forgotten it. Painful. I was reckless with my words. Sincere, meant to be kind, but it's amazing the impact that words have, even if we're not careful, if we're just not careful. And then maybe 18 years ago, I don't know, a long time ago, I was talking to my adult daughter, and like us all, she's had her struggles, and I said, I believe in you. You are oozing with talent and gifts that God gave you, and I just want you to know that. I believe in you. And that one didn't stick until years later. She told Lisa, she said, Dad believes in me. And I did. She's amazed me in many ways. But I didn't realize the impact that those positive words had. But she heard it. The message stuck. They were two words chosen with care, intended to do good. But to this day, I'm amazed at the huge impact that they had in her life. And the point I'm getting at is that words are so powerful. And you know this. We live in a world made with words. I mean, God spoke it into existence. And we live by words. Every day, almost, for most of us, we use them to express ideas and thoughts and pleasure or displeasure, and we use them all the time, and we've been uplifted by words that were intended to lift us up. Words, positive words, kind words, and we felt the sting of negative words at times in our life, and we've seen it the same on the faces of others as we've spoken. And it just impresses me because, again, as I look through our everyone that's here, many of us have been around a while. We've been using words a long time and heard words a long time, and yet, for me anyway, and I'm assuming for many of us, that the battle isn't over between choosing my words carefully and using words that lift spirits and trying not to use those that have a more negative effect. And so the word had a lot to say about the things we speak and the things we say. But there's one verse that perplexed me for years. I'd like to look at it tonight. I mean, I think most of us could look at it, have looked at it many times, and we get the surface idea. I think we can say, yeah, I get the idea, and I think we do. But I think this one goes a little deeper. And so, let me get there. This is Jesus speaking in Matthew 12, starting in verse 33. Let's see here. There's probably something else I need to push. Maybe the B. So it's Matthew 12, 33 to 37. If you got your Bibles, open them up. And he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. So one thing that just is obvious, but worth mentioning is, what determines if a tree is good or not is the fruit that it bears. And so can you imagine saying, I have an apple tree in our front. I had two apple trees. And one was golden, delicious, and The first year I bought it from the nursery, it had one apple on it when I brought it home. And I waited till that apple ripened, thank you, Matthew, and it was delicious. It was just delicious. And the next year, the other apple tree had 100 apples on it, and they were dwarf trees, but this one had aphids. And so, you know, if Cindy were to ask me, well, what do you think of your golden delicious? Oh, it's my favorite tree. It's such a good... No, there's no... It didn't bear fruit. It didn't do what I bought it to do. It was a bad tree because it had no fruit. Can't even say bad fruit, just no fruit. You get it. But Jesus goes on. He's talking to people that have just accused him of doing his casting out demons by the devil, by Beelzebub. So he's not speaking to us, but he says to them, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? Same idea as the tree, right? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. And so, all right, we're tracking. But here's the part that perplexed me a little bit. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. So for years, I've read it and said, you know, I just need to be careful about the words that I use, the words that I speak. Careful, not careless. And so, okay, I think I get it. But really, the question is, for me, is what's a careless word? I mean, there are... When the Jews... In Matthew 12, said Jesus cast out demons by the devil. Those weren't careless. They didn't want to give glory to Jesus for doing a miracle. So they thought this out, and they accused him of something very evil. That wasn't a careless word. Those were evil and abusive and with the intention of harming and driving people away from Jacob. Don't listen to him. He's doing this by the power of the devil. Not what careless means, because I looked up the word careless. In the word, if you use the King James, I don't remember how many of you do, but in the King James, it's the word idle. He says, we're going to be held accountable for every idle word. And the word idle is also used in the New American Standard. It's the same word as careless, but they're just used interchangeably. And it means to be unwilling to work, idle. Dan and I were talking about finding people that I don't know the words we use, but have a good work ethic, that know how to work and that want to work, and not everyone does. So they're idle, lazy, unproductive, worthless. A careless word is a worthless word. And so these are words that we say without concern. They're not well chosen. Sometimes we may choose a dagger, right? But careless words are words that we say without concern, with less care for how they impact others. So our words indicate what's on our heart. Now that we've known forever, right? What comes out of our mouth, it tells people what's in our heart. And so Jesus, repeating what he says, so the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure what is evil. So my question was this as I read this, brings out of his good treasure or evil treasure, that is treasure always valuable? He said, to me it is. Whoa, what a treasure. Or look at the treasure God gave me. To me, treasure means valuable, but not in the Bible necessarily. I try not to use much Greek, but the word is thesaurus. Thesaurus. It means storehouse. Anybody in school or now, when you're typing papers, anybody ever use a thesaurus? Same exact word. We get the word thesaurus. It's a storehouse of words from the Greek word thesaurus. And so if you know what a thesaurus is, it's a word where, you know, I need to use another word besides big. So I look up big and it says huge, it says gigantic, and you get the idea. It uses lots of synonyms and just a place that you store words. So treasure can be very good, but Jesus talks about evil treasure because sometimes treasure isn't good. It's just what we're storing. And I've gone through a negative period of my life, and guess what was in my heart? This negative. I wake up in the morning and I'd never felt depression before, and I've shared this before, but part of it, but you know, just nothing good. Nothing good is coming out of my heart. Nothing good is coming out of my mouth, at least when I'm speaking, even to myself. Just negative. And so my only point is this, that I didn't know that. Let's assume treasure is always valuable, but no, it's whatever we're storing here, which makes sense with the context, right? It ties in. We get it. Okay, so I said that already. A thesaurus comes from the word thesaurus. Now, one thing to think about, because no one wants to use negative words. No one wants to use careless words. They're not always identical, but a careless word is never positive. It's one spoken without care, so it usually implies negative. And Christians don't want to speak them. I hate it when I let something come out of my mouth that isn't edifying. It not only de-edifies the people I'm talking to, it even de-edifies the person speaking, doesn't it? If you think about it. So careless words come about without prayer, without any effort given to honor the other person. So you can now think, oh, when James says in chapter 1, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, maybe sometimes what they're saying to us, we don't like. So that's especially an important time to be really slow and say, Lord, just quick. Lord, help me respond in the right way, in the way that Jesus would respond. And we put maybe just a quick 2-second prayer together so we're slow to speak. That helps me when I do that. The other thing that I do, by the way, is I just ask myself if I'm listening and I'm not liking the message and thinking about what they're saying and thinking about, well, how am I going to respond to this? I also like to ask the question, what's my goal? What's my goal? Because I know I used to scold a lot more 20 years ago than I try never to scold now, but you know, I want to, if they're saying something that just is mean spirit, whatever, I want to scold. And as I look back, good doesn't come from it. Once in a while, they'll be so humble, they'll say, I'm so sorry. Maybe they'll do that, but that's not because my words led them there. It's because their heart was right. So I like to pray quickly. Don't always remember. You know, I'm preaching to me as much as anybody or more than anybody. But pray first and then say, what is my goal here so my words aren't careless? Check this one out. This one, you've read it before, but in Jude 9, there's only one chapter. It says, but Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. I'm not sure I fully understand that today. I see what Jesus says about the devil. He says he's the father of all lies. He'd been a murderer from the beginning. And yet Michael, he didn't say, I rebuke you, or this is what you deserve, and this is your just sentence. He said, the Lord rebuke you. And I'm still working on that one. So you have a really good handle on it, share it with me after the lesson. All I know is this. It's really clear. He's an archangel. And he's guarding his words very closely, because if he's disputing with the devil, and of course the devil is a liar and an accuser, Moses doesn't deserve to go to the paradise in Hades. He doesn't deserve it. He struck the rock and he deglorified God and he made other mistakes. And you know, it'd be easy to get worked up because he's not a nice guy. And as I said this morning, people that aren't God's sheep don't play by the same rules. So we don't have to hear what Satan had to say, but he doesn't care about rules. And yet Michael really guarded his words. That just kind of caught my attention. So careless words have the power to do significant harm. And positive words are the antidote. Positive words. I ask myself, when I'm careless, and I think I said this already, but does good ever come out? Well, I hope so. I hope my heart is so full of good and gratitude that everything that comes out is positive. But that's not the case. That's not the case. So positive words are the antidote to careless words. And I want to say one more thing. I was collecting just some experiences people had. I read some articles about people who were going to commit suicide on a specific day. And just something, and I've read more than one of them, just some, like a teacher. They found a note that fell out of the book. And it mentioned that. And I remember this one. I don't remember the names anymore, but the teacher spoke to the student and she wept. She told that student how precious they were. And please reconsider. Please. I'll work with you. And I don't remember the details, but I collected several of those. And if you've experienced that yourself, where a kind word turned you around, I'd like to hear that. Or if you know of someone. I just can't find my notes anymore. But I know that my dad, who was not a believer, he had high morals, but he didn't choose God or Jesus as Savior. But I had more than one student. One is one of my best friends, and others that I never met before. I'd be working someplace and they would, oh, are you Coach Brenneman's boy? And I've had more than one person say, your dad saved my life. Just say, come on into my office, Joel. You know, you've got so much to live for. And so I'm just pounding home a point, because the power we have with the words we use is probably beyond, even though we experience it in the reverse coming to us, is maybe beyond what we realize at times. Just incredible. So a couple of Proverbs on the positive side. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Pretty clear. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it and use it well, they will enjoy the fruits of speaking well and passing life on through what they say. And Proverbs 15:4a, a soothing tongue is a tree of life. So years ago, what does that mean? 15? I don't know. But I was visiting here. And Jeff gave a sermon that just was incredible. Just incredible to me. And so I asked him. I said, and he was using some statistics and things that to back up what he was saying. I said, where did you get that? And he told me about this book, How Full Is Your Bucket? And out of the thousands of books I owned and at least 20 that I've read, something like that, This is my third favorite book ever. More impact, positive impact on my life. But it's called How Full Is Your Bucket? And if you don't like to read, this is the book for you. 120 pages, but only 80 of them have writing on them. The pages are small, the font is big, and man, is it powerful. And you know why it's powerful? Although he never quotes scripture, all the principles he uses, all of them, are right out of the Bible. I said to myself, this guy's got to be a believer. So I checked him out, and he is. But it is so impactful. But I say that for this. I believe you'd be blessed if you decide to read it. But there's two authors, a grandfather and his grandson, and they quote some studies, one by Dr. John Gottman, who's a marriage expert, but not on theory and feeling, but on hard study. And Gottman listened to hundreds of thousands of dialogue between husband and wife, and then he went to business, also listened to business conversations, and he says that there's a ratio of positive to negative when people speak. And he says, when a marriage or a parent-child relationship, boss-to-employee relationship, when there are five positives spoken for every negative, you have to say negative. Hey, Joanna, you know, I've seen your work and I know you're capable more than this. What happened here? You know, there's a time when a boss has to bring up the negative, but when the ratio is five positives in a marriage for every negative, the marriage flourishes. When it goes down to three positives for a negative, divorce increases. And when the ratio, which shocked me, when the ratio is for every negative, a positive is spoken, the marriages cascade towards divorce. Cascade is the word that Dr. John Gottman uses. A one-to-one ratio, the power between negative and positive are not the same. So does the Bible say a five-to-one ratio? No. But it talks about that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And it talks about a soothing tongue as a tree of life. And it's so important for us to choose those positive words because it's so difficult for me. And maybe you're recovering from COVID and you don't feel good. And your spouse is recovering from COVID and she doesn't feel good. Harder to choose positive words. Or the day is just going downhill. And so it's something I struggle with. We talked about today that early in the morning session that one of the complaints that people don't become Christians is because the church is full of hypocrites. And okay, yeah, we still have room to grow. But all of us here have grown immensely in the words we use and the love we have for other people. And we, if you're like me, you have a ways to go, but really worth just talking about once in a while because I find it still a challenge for me and I wish that I didn't. One last proverb, there's lots of them, but 12:18 says, there's one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword. We felt that sword before. Maybe we've used that sword before. But the tongue of the wise, which is us, God's children, the tongue of the wise brings healing. So he doesn't tell the ratio, but he tells the impact that our speech has. And so careless words are the easiest to speak because they don't take any thought. They just come out of us sometimes when we're not guarding our heart or not filling it with the right thing. They don't take much effort because there isn't any care behind them. Yet because of their impact and their power, they are so very, very important. I needed this reminder. I probably need this reminder once a month, if not more. But here's the... And Jesus said, we'll be judged by the words that we speak, covered by the grace of Jesus. It's a heart issue as much as anything. I want to speak good words. I want to speak words full of care. I want to glorify. I want to lift up. I want to encourage and bring healing. And with that mindset, we're covered by the grace of Jesus, but that doesn't mean we can't do better. So here's the good news. It's easy to know how your heart is doing, because that's the source of the words that come out of our mouth. So, as stupid as it sounds, check out what you say sometimes. Listen, what I just had this conversation, and what were my words like? Were they words full of blessing and healing? I mean, what came out of my mouth in the last conversation that I had? If still unsure, and sometimes I am, because my wife and I, our brains don't work the same. I may say something that I intended to be positive, and it may not be received that way. So if you're unsure, you know what a great thing to do is ask others, honey. And we've got a meeting plan, and we're going to have another meeting. How can we enhance our marriage? And honey, how are my words doing? Are they healing to you? How much work do I need to put in to change? Do my words give life and lift up, or discourage and tear down? And just by being aware of it, and that's probably the biggest step, is that we will be more sure to lift up. So Jesus came to do that very thing, to lift up, to encourage, to give promises, his words that will give us hope, and his words are so powerful. He came to give that abundant life, to clean our hearts, and eventually, whether it's Jesus or God, to hear the words we long for. Enter into the joy of your master, good and faithful servants. Amen. The message is yours. Thank you so much. Let's have our song of invitation. Please stand and give Matt just a moment to do whatever he has to do back there. But the song number is 269 in the bigger book right here.